Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox. We will find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Those of us who weren't raised by Grand Theft Auto, we applaud after we see something.
All right, everybody, this is Chatterbox Video Game Radio with myself, Alon, and my wonderful co-host, Nate.
Hi, guys.
Now, ordinarily, we have Julie Stouffer as well, but today she's taking the day off, so you all will have room to get to us on the phone lines. We want to give everybody the chance.
Everybody.
To talk to all of us. But I'm actually going to tell you to wait. We're going to bring in the callers for the second half of the show. The number will be 866-536-1100 for all you folks in North America. That's toll-free. But just wait, and I'll remind you when to actually call. Right now, we're going to get to Gabe and Tycho. I'm sure you're all waiting to hear us interview these guys, because that's why you're all listening. We've completely broken records with the number of online listeners right now. It's absolutely ridiculous.
What are we at now?
We're astonishing
amount.
It's
crazy.
About, I'd say, 40 times what we used to have.
Yeah.
Like a week ago. Anyway, let's bring them on. We've got Gabe and Tycho from Penny Arcade. Are you guys there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Excellent. All right, so now I'm a little bit flustered. Nate, I don't know how to go about actually starting this sort of interview. I think the first thing to ask, a lot of people were sort of wondering, what happened a couple weeks ago when we were expecting you guys to call in?
Because that was a great show. It turned out so well.
Nate feels bad. What actually happened?
I forgot. Yeah, he forgot to remind me.
Okay.
Oh, so it's somehow fallen to me. To babysit him in the
it was his
matters,
responsibility, and I'm just as angry as you guys are.
You know, there's actually
we are a united front against him.
There's a remarkable resemblance there between Nate and I, and how we function.
Yeah, I tend to forget a lot of what stuff that's going to happen.
Like, hey, we got a radio show to do. Get in the car.
I'm a little stressed out right now because I may lose my colon. I'll find this out tomorrow.
Yeah, Nate's had some bad medical news.
See, yeah.
This totally. I'm the writer, and Nate is the artist. And really, I'm telling you, we're exactly the same people.
Pretty much.
You two and us two. Anyway, he doesn't need his colon,
you know, to do that.
Really, who needs a colon?
I understand.
You know, it's not that big of a deal.
Okay. Your colon? I mean, I don't know about you.
I got two of them, right? They're like kidneys, right?
Yeah, you don't need either of them, really. All right, let's get to the interview. Otherwise, I'm going to have people on your forum dragging me for not asking any realistic questions. So I'm going to start, I guess, before Nate.
Go for it.
Want to talk, obviously, about this big Penny Arcade project that you guys have created pretty much from the ground up. That's one of the things, actually, that I like to talk about here specifically on Chatterbox, is about how people take something, or rather take nothing, and create basically a gaming job out of it. And so how did you guys really get started with Penny Arcade? Is there a story behind that?
There is, and I'm going to let him tell it.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we entered a contest back about, I guess, 7 or 8 years ago now for Next Generation magazine. They put out a call saying they wanted cartoons about video games. And we did a couple and sent them in, and eventually they mailed us and said, don't send us any more cartoons. You did not win the contest. Someone else did. Don't contact us anymore. But we had all these cartoons laying around, and we had so much fun making them. So we figured somebody ought to see them. So we shopped them around to all the different big gaming sites at the time, like Blues News and I can't remember all of them now.
Telefrag, like that.
Yeah. And Looney Games was the one that sort of picked us up, and they ran the comics that we gave them. And then I remember Jason sending me a mail saying, you know, I'll expect the next comic on Monday. And I was like, what are you talking about? We just, you know, we did these and we gave them to you. This wasn't going to be like a job. And it was because he demanded more, and we didn't want to disappoint him, that we kept doing them.
Do you think he actually expected you'd come through?
I don't know. I
I think what's most likely is that we simply did not understand what we had agreed to.
Yeah. That was probably the case.
All right. I understand that. Now, I do remember reading a post, God, I have no idea when it was, sometime in the last couple of years, where, at least in the news post, Tycho, you said something about how, you know, really, Penny Arcade isn't just a video game comic. It's, you know, it's whatever we want to do. But now it seems perhaps that you've submitted and accepted that it is, and I'm wondering your take on that.
Well, I don't know that that is necessarily true. Certainly we like video games, and so they tend to come up a lot. But if we want to do a comic strip that takes place in an alternate universe where mice operate the inner workings of a grandfather clock, we will do that, and we have done that, actually, recently.
Well, kind of speaking of some of your odder ideas, exactly where did the idea of Twips and Casby come from? It just seems kind of out there for me. Like, I don't even know where I'd begin to think of like that.
Well, it's actually in the first strip that they were in. Like, they were created as a joke that, I mean, like, with the express purpose of having no one get it or like it.
Okay, I feel so much better now.
Yeah, I mean, that was the entire idea, with it, the ham barbells and demons and cats and suits and... Yeah, the entire idea was that it would just be completely out of left field, but then it wouldn't matter and you couldn't say anything because it wasn't for critics.
Do you think that might have some sort of link to the fact that they sell fewer t-shirts?
I don't know. They sold pretty well for a while. It's just that, you know, we do one strip with them a year. I think that people who are interested in that particular garment probably already own it.
Okay, so what you're doing is creating demand with the scarcity of this comic.
I guess we're paranoid about...
No demand was created.
We're paranoid about overusing our side characters. We don't want to be that guy that, you know, pulls out the running gag every week.
Well, you don't want to become the merch, right?
Right, exactly.
Except in cases like the merch, where that's the entire idea, is to be crass and cynical.
And I completely appreciate that character, by the way.
Oh, he's very good.
Yeah. But, like, as far as Twisp and Catsby, the cardboard tube samurai, the fruit fucker, I mean,
we should avoid that.
I don't think we can say that.
Although it is a proper name, Andrew, so maybe we should let it go.
Okay, fruit friend. We call him the fruit friend.
Fruit effer, or whatever.
The fruit enthusiast.
Now, well, there was a question on the forums about, now can the fruit, or the friend?
The fruit friend.
Fruit friend. Can he be friends with other things, or is it only fruit?
Well, people might not know this because we haven't really gone into it in the comic, but the company that this is going to be tricky. The company that produces the Fruit Friend, Friendco, they actually produce a line of friends for all different sorts of things.
Oh my God!
So I mean, these are the sorts of conversations that, you know, Tycho and I have had. But they've just never, those other friends have never made it into a comic yet.
So that's just the backstory.
Maybe they will at some point.
Well, that was the original idea.
Yeah.
That's that there are all these different types. But obviously, if we investigate that now, it will just be as though we're, you know, we've gone back one too many times to the well. But that was the original idea.
Whatever happened to Div? He hasn't been around.
It's one of those things. We just don't. We don't want to be accused of using those characters as crutches, and we're always really paranoid. I don't want to, like, go to look at the latest comic thread in the forums and be like, oh my God, they used Ted Div again. They have to suck.
Div. You know, I actually have a character in mind that I've been wanting to get on our show. Obviously, it wouldn't be hand-drawn, but one of these days I'll come to you and ask you to make a picture of it. And then I will sell t-shirts.
I probably won't be home.
Yeah, I know you won't be around. One day. Now, I gotta tell you, probably the most important thing that I wanted to get out of you guys, I don't know if you'll have the response I'm looking for or whatever, is, like, I mean, you've been doing this for like 7 years now, right?
Yeah,
more than that, I think.
Now, I was curious about this beforehand, but then I also solicited your forum goers to ask what questions they wanted us to ask, and someone asked exactly this question as well, so I'm sure that it's not a bad one. There was some point in time when you had to realize that, okay, I can do this as a job, right? Or perhaps it took someone else's pushing you to make you realize it. And I want to know the story behind that. Like, did Rob come to you one day and say, we need to make money out of this?
You mean Robert?
Robert
no.
Who? Or like,
oh, no. See, Robert
is a late addition.
Robert is a fairly recent addition.
Like, I'm not up on my history, apparently.
No, I mean, he's only been around the last couple years. I mean, we were already sort of making a go of it as a, quote, business, unquote, but we simply weren't very good at it.
And so what happened? How many years or days into the project did you think, all right, you know, maybe this can work?
Well, it wasn't like, I mean, it was, what was it, 2 years in when we, I mean, what happened is we sold the comic strip to eFront, and that's the reason we were able to quit our jobs originally, was that we sold the entire company to eFront without really understanding what we did.
Well, see, understand this, so there's two phases, right? Okay, so after 2 years, that's when we both started to live full-time at it. But there was a period between a year and a half and 2 years where Mike was able to live on it full-time, and I continued to toil at my job.
Wow, so there was a difference between the two?
Well, yeah, I mean, basically, like, it was making enough money. Understand that in Spokane, you can get by on, like, $5 and a cracker.
That's like Phoenix. Hey, hold that thought.
I have the impression you guys have scorpions there, but, you know, minus the scorpions, that kind of situation is what you can do.
They're not that bad.
Hang on. We got to go to break, and I'm telling everybody, here's a new contest. We're going to give away a game. All you got to do is name this song or name the game it comes from. We'll be back in just a couple minutes, everybody.
Bye.
Hi everyone, thanks for listening to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. I wanted to take a second to remind you all that we're a struggling little group of gamers only just beginning to prepare for a life as the giant media moguls we're destined to become. To fulfill that destiny, we need your help. If we're going to survive in this great land of accountants, red tape, and lawyers, we need to get your accountants to tell your lawyers to allow your marketing specialists to call us and offer us money for advertising. If you're a business owner, rich and generous investor, pencil pusher at a company with money to burn, or just in a position to help us get a piece of someone else's marketing budget, drop me a line. All you have to do is email me at alon@chatterboxgameshow.com. It's right there on our website if you forget. Seriously, you should get in on the ground floor while you can, before we get so big that, you know, I don't have to beg anymore.
That was a great commercial.
Yeah,
welcome
back to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show, where we do our best not to swear on the radio. We are having our interview.
We're down to only one time a show now.
Yeah, only once. So we're here with Gabe and Tycho via phone from Penny Arcade, and I had to cut them short before, and actually a bunch of people called in to try to give me an answer to that, and since I was cutting it so quick, I forgot to say, go on to our forums at chatterboxgameshow.com and write the answer down there. If you know what game that song was from, and I'll send you a game. I think we'll send you out We Love Katamari,
yeah,
since it's a music rhythm game.
That's nice.
Yeah. I also want to remind everybody before we continue that you have to go to uat.edu. They're our favorite sponsor here at Chatterbox. They'll teach you how to make games. Shh. They'll teach you how to make games. You should go to uat.edu for the University of Advanced Technology.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break the illusion that
that we're big and rich?
With the beta prostate was a sponsor in our show?
All right, so we're back. Thanks for putting up with that. Anyway, so we were talking about how you basically decided that you could make Penny Arcade your home for possibly the rest of your lives. And I want to hear more about that. Do you remember where you were?
Oh, sure. Anyway, yeah, so there was a period where one of us could live on it. Both of us could have some money, or one of us could live on it.
And you chose the generous route of letting Gabe take all the cash?
He's got a good heart.
that's certainly one way of looking at it. But in any case, eventually, you know, when the web was like the cool thing, and there were these content aggregators like UGO going around snapping up sites, we were sent a contract by a company called eFront, and the only piece of information we looked at was like how much money we would make per month. And we did not look at the part above that where it says that we sell our site to them forever.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we went ahead and signed up. And eventually that did not go well. The CEO fled the country on tax evasion charges. It was action-packed. And so then we were sort of right back at square one, trying to figure out how to make it sort of a business.
Only now we didn't have jobs.
Yeah, right. Did that company fold?
Yeah. It's hard to know exactly what happened. It imploded, I think, is a more accurate term.
You can still find the when one of the guys left the company, he grabbed the chat logs from Sam, the president,
uh-huh.
and released them onto the Intertron.
I think I read something about that.
Oh yeah, they're pretty funny to read through.
Yeah. It's like, hey, we got to milk these guys. How do we work the system?
Well, even more than that, not just milk these guys. It was like, you know, let's hire some other people to write their comic and fire them.
That would have been funny. So how did you get your rights back?
We just kind of figured we got them back. Do you think we didn't?
I think you got them, I guess.
Sure, if you say so.
I'm no Jack Thompson.
Shit, I don't know. Oh, I mean, shoot.
Yes.
Hello?
Are you answering doors?
Sam may come back into the country and demand our comic strip. I don't know.
That would be an interesting time. And, of course, you'd have to tell us all about it.
You'll get the exclusive interview, Alan.
Well, thank you.
As Alan greatly made a tangent with Jack Thompson, we kind of wanted to ask you about... you got a phone call from old Jacko there.
Do you want to tell that story?
Yeah, would you like to tell us a little bit?
I did not get it. That's a Gabe thing. I'll let him handle it.
Go for it, man.
I had his email address. I just had it. I guess I'm not allowed to say how, but I did have it, and I thought, well, I'll just try sending him an email about Child's Play, since he is talking about charity and whatnot. And just for fun, I included my phone number in there because I thought, God, wouldn't that be funny if he actually called? And I kid you not, like 5 minutes later, my phone rings. And it's Jack. And as soon as I pick up the phone, he says, is this Mike? I said, yeah. He says, let me tell you something, idiot. And from then on, like the next probably 4 minutes, he did nothing but yell at me until he hung up the phone.
That's how he gets so many fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, you know, he called us and he said this. Why am I not hearing this, Andrew?
Are we dead?
Or? Andrew has... Oh, can I play this now, Andrew? All right, this is what happened.
You're not listening. What I said is that I'm collaborating with the porn industry to have live sexual intercourse on network TV with Hillary Clinton.
Hey there, Chatterboxers. This is Alon for the podcast. Just wanted to make it clear that chat clip we just played, yeah, that was totally fake. Not real at all. Thanks. And that, I just thought, wow, that's so wild. I can't believe he would say something like that. But,
he really jumps back on his positions.
He has a lot of crazy ideas.
What's funny is, like, because I sent him another mail after that, and he called me again. And after our second conversation, after having talked to him for a little while, he really is not scary. Like, he's just a crazy old man. What's scary is that there are people that listen to him and will put him on TV, you know? Him by himself, he's just a loon. And you can figure that out after talking to him for a couple minutes.
Well, yeah, now that we've had so many people, because of you guys, linking to our site or seeing our Jack Thompson interview, hearing it, I mean, I've gotten all these emails about, like, either your interview sucked or your interview was great or whatever, but we've got people talking about it. And I'm like, well, sometimes if you agree with him, you're kind of missing the point where basically he contradicted himself about 12 times during our interview. So let me point that out. And yeah, that's where I think he's a loon. Otherwise, he has some ideas that make him not sound completely dumb.
Well, I think the idea of making sure that young children are not exposed to violent video games, I don't think there's anything unreasonable about that.
Yeah, that's what we pretty much all agree on. And then he says, well, you know what, Sims, EA needs to die because The Sims has a boob in it, and the world needs to die.
Oh, they got all the penises and the vaginas.
Doesn't have a boob in it, and it can be added with a patch or something like that, and he goes on national television and says that because someone made a patch for it that it's EA's fault and this is just endemic to the industry. You know what I'm saying?
I did point out that I could put a vagina and make typing fun, and he didn't really catch the reference, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to move on because a lot of people have mentioned they didn't want to talk about Jack Thompson for the whole interview.
That's fine.
So we have a couple minutes here. What other questions do I have? Nate, you had a couple questions.
Yeah. I don't know. We were at PAX, and you told this story, and I enjoyed it greatly. Gabe, you have a tablet. I believe it's the size of a small parking lot. But this tablet is free. And I was wondering if you wouldn't mind telling the story of how you were able to acquire such a lovely item.
Well, when this was probably two or three years into Penny Arcade, GameSpy offered me a job as an artist, right? And they said I could work from home, which meant I could stay in Spokane, and that they would have absolutely no idea how hard I was working. And I told them I had, like, demands, though, and one of the demands was that they purchase for me a tablet so big I could park a car on it. And I got it, and it's actually the tablet I still use to draw the comic strip, even long after I stopped working for GameSpy.
Nate really does like that story.
I love that story.
On his face. All right, so I got to tell you.
When he says stopped working for GameSpy, let's be clear, he doesn't mean fired.
No, that's really all there is to the story.
All right, listen, we have to go to break very soon. I want to apologize to everyone listening because I really, like, I have a ton of questions here that I'm not asking just because we get into these stories. And, like, I could talk to you guys for, like, 2 hours, and I'm sure it would be an interesting 2 hours for everybody. But I did promise that I'm going to open up the line, so hopefully our callers have some interesting questions, too. So we're going to come back after the break, and callers should ask their questions. And if they have some wild questions that maybe they've been talking about on the forums, maybe a question that, you know, takes some balls to ask, go right out and ask it.
Because there is one question everyone's been dying to ask.
And I might even give you a prize if you ask some good questions. So anyway, we'll be back in a minute, and I wish I could talk to you guys for 10 more hours.
Oh, man, more than that.
All right, we'll be back, everybody. We're back, everybody. Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name is Alon, and this is Nate.
Hello.
And we're having an interview with Gabe and Tycho from Penny Arcade. Before we do that, once again, going to remind you to go to uat.edu if you want to make games, because that's how to do it.
That's right.
We're out of time for our interview because I want to bring in the callers. Our phone number is 866-536-1100. If you're in North America, that's toll-free. Give us a call, 866-536-1100, even though right now, you know, the lines are full.
Full.
Also, since I didn't get to ask about it, I'm just going to have to plug it because I wouldn't respect myself afterwards. If you didn't already know, they have this project called Child's Play. Keep an eye on their website. Is it childsplay.org or Child's Play?
It's childsplaycharity.org.
Childsplaycharity.org. It's all about getting games to people who need them. And we've had Ryan Sharp on from the Get Well Gamers Foundation, who does a very similar thing.
Yep.
All year round, not just during the Christmas season.
Actually, he's helping us.
Yeah, and actually, he said he wanted to call in today and talk to you guys. But we have a link to his website, Get Well Gamers, and we even tried to do something, and we're working with them because I have 60 video game systems in my master bedroom that I'm trying to get out to hospitals and stuff around the country. So thank you very much for doing that. We all appreciate it, and you should all learn more about it and donate this year.
That's right.
Because you'll feel good about it, and maybe you won't lose your colon if you do. So we're going to go to some callers. I've got a ton of people here. First off, let's go with Dave from North Carolina, line one.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, what? Dave.
Hey, what's up? I have a couple questions, if I could ask both of them. One is one that a bunch of people put me up to, and they really want to know, so I apologize for this ahead of time. But, Gabe, exactly how gay are you for Spider-Man?
Man, listen, I'm watching the thread. I knew what you were going to ask.
I'm really sorry about that.
I'm on the boards.
He does have access to the forums.
Well, if you listen, could placate all the guys, they really want to know.
There's a couple comics in the archive that are 100% true and super embarrassing. But
so the dream one was actually true? Right? That's amazing.
So, yes, I'm a little gay for Spider-Man. You know,
there's
but
nothing wrong with that.
We all have dreams, right? It's the subconscious. It probably meant something else.
Now, can I interject here? Julie Stouffer, our co-host who isn't with us tonight, she works on Electric Playground Electric Playground's a program on G4 TV, and one of her co-hosts, Tommy Tallarico, he has like a whole room in his house devoted to Spider-Man.
Wow.
Yeah. Hmm. He's got the money to do that.
Anyway,
well,
the other
he doesn't
really
get to make comics about
was,
it, though.
That's true.
That's
right.
You guys
win.
My serious question, though, back a few years ago when the Internet was kind of falling apart and a lot of mainstay sites like you guys and Something Awful and all the people who we kind of look to as the internet moguls, how close did you guys come to quitting back when a lot of people were really thinking about giving up on the internet and getting just regular jobs? I'm just curious how close you came to giving up on Penny Arcade.
Extremely close, I would say.
Did you talk about that?
Oh, wow. We need to cut down on the 18 people talking at once.
Okay, I won't say anything. Somebody else say something.
No, no, Jerry, you do it. You say it.
Yeah, we were... I would say that we were extremely close to doing it. And if the readership hadn't made it possible for us to continue doing it, we may... It may have fallen by the wayside. It may have been one of the sites that didn't come back.
Yeah, we're looking at the same fate.
Yeah.
Here at Chatterbox.
So now, would you say that the era of micropayments really got you through that tough time?
Well, certainly the ability, the fact that enough time had gone on so that, you know, it got to the point where people were seeing sites go down. They were seeing sites that they had come to rely on evaporate overnight. And I think that enough people realized that they had a say in the sort of internet they could connect to.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think I speak for a lot of people when I say that we're glad you're still around, and I'm glad you made it through that
period.
Thank
you very much.
Thanks for your call, Dave.
All right. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Now, Gabe, were you going to say something more about Spider-Man? I know you were trying to for a
Probably.
Second.
Probably. Wait, did
Dave
hang out?
No, I was just going to say that the other true comic in the archive that was really embarrassing was where Gabe thinks he's a genius and then realizes his finger smells like poop. Like, there have been a couple of those that are 100% real, and I sort of tell them to Jerry as a joke, like, man, this happened, like, isn't that funny? And then they become comics.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, the person who just called, I want you to email me right away and, you know, send me some contact info for you. All right?
Wow, sounds like we got a love connection.
We might, or he might get a We Love Katamari game.
Yeah. Oh, having balls to ask that question.
For having the balls. See how the connection there?
Yeah.
Balls, Katamari. All right.
I get it. Yeah.
So we've got Ryan on the line. Line 4 wants to ask you something as well, Mike. Gabe.
Hello. Hey, Ryan.
Hey. Hello?
Go ahead, Ryan. What would you like to ask?
Hi. This is for Mike. Well, first off, I'd just like to say how much I appreciate being on the show. Basically, my question for Mike is, you know, I really respect you basically as an artist. I think your art is just wonderful to look at.
Wow.
I was wondering if you had any maybe tips for I'm actually an aspiring artist. I just graduated with a BA at Ohio State. Do you have any tips maybe for getting into the industry as a concept artist?
Wow. Well, I mean, obviously I was not able to do that myself. I had to sort of make my own way into the industry.
Really?
I wish that I could give you advice on that. Honestly, if you're able to do it, you should give me advice. Because that would be a really nice job to have.
Well, I mean, you're doing comics for Ubisoft and whatnot, and I mean, I think that's just unbelievable. I mean, is it just the people you know, the people you're rubbing elbows with, or?
Well, certainly a lot of it is talking to the right people. I mean, a big thing with getting Robert on board as our sort of business guy is that those business people, they're like, I don't know if you guys are familiar with like Furbies. You know, you sit them down next to each other and they speak their own little language.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you're not one of these biz people, you can't talk to them. And so having your own biz person really helps you get your foot in the door. Obviously, that's not an option for you.
Right.
It sounds like you've got the education for it. You just need to get out there and send your portfolio out to the companies you want to work at.
And how about location? I mean, you guys are on the West Coast. It's like where most of the game industry is, at least in the U.S.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's getting more and more spread out. I mean, obviously Seattle is a big spot, but Texas is also hot right now.
We'll be there next week.
Yeah, Austin Game Conference.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but it's important to note that the concept artists that we know rarely work on site.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
Most concept work is done in the early parts of production, and then the rest of the time of development is spent realizing those designs. I mean, that isn't the sort of thing that you need to live in a certain place to accomplish.
A lot of the concept artists that I talk to for games they're freelance artists first who also take jobs in the game industry.
Hmm. All right. Thanks for your call, Ryan. We got to move on to some other folks. All right. So we've got Tom, line 3, wants to ask about something. I'm not so sure I even understand it, but go ahead, Tom.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Great.
I had a question on your Tarte as a double entendre comic. American Greetings had you guys pull it. Is there any chance that we're going to be able to see that come back at all, or is that something that's just completely gone?
It'll never be on. It'll never be on our site again, because I like making comics and I don't want them to come molest me, which is a very real possibility. But I will tell you on the sly that that comic is not difficult to find out on the internet. Obviously, we have nothing to do with those illicit archives, but they do exist, and it won't be hard to track it down.
So there's absolutely no way that, I mean, you guys mentioned that there's an artistic license that, you know, supposedly artists are supposed to be able to do that kind of satirical material.
I think it's a case of their lawyers not being as big.
Or is that?
Well, no, we weren't actually protected. We were in the wrong there. And that's, that's not us saying that. That's the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund telling us that we had no case. I mean, Jerry, you can explain it better than I can.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if it was just up to us, we would leave it up out of spite. But the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund guys that we contacted told us that when you create a parody of an existing property, that speech is protected. And if you, the trouble is when you utilize another intellectual property to make a parody of another property. So the impression that I got from them, I had never heard this before, but I'm not a lawyer, was that if we had just made a parody of American McGee's stuff, or just made a parody of Strawberry Shortcake, we'd be okay. But since we were sort of dragging Strawberry Shortcake into this other fight, that was not legitimate.
Okay, that's
Isn't
interesting.
That strange? I mean,
so basically, there's no chance. I'm sorry, Tom.
Oh well, thanks for answering my question.
Yep. No problem,
thanks, man.
You can still dream about her though, like Gabe dreams about Spider-Man. All right, so we'll move on. I see.
That was uncalled for.
Sorry. We've got Colin from Ohio. He wants to ask a question. Colin, are you there?
Yeah.
All right. What do you like to say?
Well, first off, Gabe, Tycho, I love your stuff.
Thank you.
Been reading it for a long time, and I play WoW a lot.
Sure.
And what I can't seem to understand is you guys play WoW, like, nonstop, basically, right?
As much as we can.
Well, how do you guys find the time to review games and play new games that just come out when you guys are spending, like, most of your time playing WoW?
Because it's their job. I think that's why, but go ahead.
Well, honestly, I only am able to play WoW from the time little Gabe goes to sleep, which is like 8, and I usually play for a couple hours every night. But, I mean, I spend my day at the office, you know, drawing comics and playing games, so I'm just sort of, like you said, I'm just sort of lucky that that's my job.
Can I tell you how envious I am, by the way? Because, you know, I wish I could get paid to play games. Indirectly, you know.
It's good work if you can get it.
One of these days, I'll have that. It's my mission in life. Was there anything else you wanted to say, Colin?
Oh, no. I've been trying to get on, trying to call through for a while. It's been busy, but finally able to talk to the mighty
Thank you for calling.
The proud and the two. Unfortunately, we only have 4 lines over here at KFNX. One of these days,
more lines.
A little limited.
Yeah, you know, we'll find the budget to increase that. Anyway, so we've got lots more people. Alex from New Jersey. How are you, Alex?
I'm doing good.
Go ahead.
I've been reading your posts for years now. Read them all like 20 times each.
Thank you.
And I've been reading about the book and the trading cards. Do you have any release date areas for those?
The book is going to hit. We thought it was going to be December, but the book is now going to be a January thing. And I believe the card game that you were talking about, I believe that drops in February, if I'm not mistaken.
Are you thinking of having, like, perennial volume releases for the books?
Well, I'm not exactly sure. I think that we'll probably see another book come out next year.
Yeah.
We'll probably have 2 that year, maybe 1 later towards the summer. I'm not exactly sure. That's my wish. The first book turned out pretty good, so I think people will be happy with it.
So are we going to be blown away by the quality like you were with all the laser shells and everything?
Well, this is the card game I can totally vouch for, because obviously we did not make it. Sabretooth made it, and it's totally great. But I think that you'll be startled by the book, yeah.
All right, I have the very first book, which I guess doesn't technically belong to you anymore, or...
I think they got it back.
That's a whole story you guys don't have time for.
Yeah. Yeah, now that is a long story. Maybe next time we come on Chatterbox Video Game Radio, we can
Oh my god, don't even tempt me. When we have a longer show, maybe I'll have you on and you know, be able to drag you through another awkward hour of phone calls. So we've got no time, basically, for any more calls before the next break. But we've got a couple people who want to ask you about the opportunity for having cartoons or something in the future, and I know I've asked you that in the past myself. We are going to be back in a few minutes, so call in if you have
questions.
We'll be back in a minute, everybody. Welcome back to Chatterbox Video Game Radio with Alon. Next week, Nate will not be here because he pissed me off during the break, making fun of my fantastic commercial.
It totally sounds like you weren't reading it at
Yeah,
all.
I know. All right, well, we're back with Gabe and Tycho from Penny Arcade, so we're going to get right to it because we've got lots of people on the line to ask you questions. So we've got two people. I'm just going to ask it for them so I don't have to have two people with the same question asking you this. Sure. What are your plans of developing TV show, cartoon, video, DVD, anything with Penny Arcade?
I don't know. Honestly, developing for television isn't any fun. To be perfectly frank with you, the people who act as the gatekeepers to that medium are almost universally pricks, and they feel like they feel like they're doing you this huge favor by taking all of the money from your project.
We've actually tried it twice. Like, it's just not worth the trouble.
Have you thought about presenting that, you know, on the internet? With video podcasting and all that now, since there's so many possibilities?
I guess you could, but, I mean, we are pretty happy. I mean, we're pretty happy making our strips and doing our posts and doing Child's Play packs. Like, I mean, we feel like we have... We feel like things are going pretty well. Like,
you're busy enough.
Yeah. I kind of like it.
Yeah, I think I would be, you know...
Yeah, there you go.
I could be happy being comfortable.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't need to expand. But you guys have been doing a great job expanding. Like you said, Child's Play is going to go international this year?
That's the hope.
You guys are incredibly insane.
Yeah.
I just want to make that clear. Yeah. I guess you guys already let people know that. Anyway, let's go to callers, like I promised. We've got Tom from Virginia, who might not think you're insane like I do.
Let's find out.
Go ahead.
Tom. First of all, I just wanted to say that... Jesus is certainly friendly metal, but I was just going to postulate that he might be specifically Scandinavian metal. Just wanted you to think about that.
What's that, black metal?
Scandinavian metal, yeah, especially from Finland. Their chief export is pretty much metal.
Amorphous and
it's
so forth.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You'll find it anywhere. All right. My question for Mike was that... I just wanted him to list some of his satirical internet influences that are not webcomics.
Let's see. That might be more a question for Jerry. If you're looking for the writing answer.
Wait.
That's what he intended. He intended to say Tycho. I've got it right here in front of me.
Yeah. I meant the writer.
Influences for like being ridiculous? Like writing ridiculous things? Is that what you mean?
No, like just when you write satire, like in your news updates and in your comics, what are your web influences from the web, but not from comics?
His only influence from the web is porn, man. I'm in the office all day. I can see what he's looking at.
I see.
I would say the brunching shuttlecocks. I mean, obviously it isn't a force now as it once was, but I always found brunching shuttlecocks really, really inspirational.
Can you say that more slowly? Because I'm not quite getting what you're putting down there.
Oh, brunching shuttlecocks.
Brunching shuttlecocks. Like
I have
having lunch on Sundays? Shuttlecocks?
Who knows?
Okay.
Good sight, though.
Continue.
And Lore, one of the main authors there, he's always just sort of inspired me to say mean things. So.
All right. Well, I've always found that, you know, lots of people are satirical and don't need to get it from the web.
Yeah.
You know, Nate is that way. And he's always funny. So I'm going to move on to a couple more people. Try to squeeze them in here. We've got Casey from Kentucky has a question about the cardboard tube.
What's it? Hello?
Casey, you're on.
Go for it.
All right, I just had a question. I've been reading your guys, y'all's comics for about a year and a half, and I love the Cardboard Tube Samurai. I was just wondering, is he ever going to get, like, a serious rival or anything?
Yeah, we actually have a lot of... Man, we've got a ton of Cardboard Tube Samurai stories written. Like, I can't even... I mean, pages and pages of it. But we're... Like I was talking about before, we're really paranoid about putting too much Cardboard Tube Samurai out there.
It sounds like he wants it, though. You know,
yeah,
what
I mean, I know that he's got fans out there. Obviously, people dress up like him and stuff, but I just...
You got him into a video game. That's how awesome
yes.
it is.
I worry. You know, I don't want him... don't want to use him too much.
With all these pages of Cardboard Tube Samurai, there wouldn't be a book in the works at all.
I wouldn't say it's in the works anymore. I mean, it's certainly, the story's there. It's just a matter of finding the time to draw it.
It's something we actually want to put into one of the other books, like as bonus content, just to throw like a 16, 20-page CTS story in there.
Yeah.
Just as something else for people to check out.
That would be freaking awesome.
I would enjoy that.
Yeah, I would enjoy that very much myself.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Casey.
Thank you.
For calling in. We have Michael from Pennsylvania who has a question. Michael.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey.
I have a question. Do you guys, first of all, I want to say I love Cardboard Tube Samurai. Like, I cosplayed as Cardboard Tube Samurai to a couple conventions. Like,
which
really
one?
Awesome. And I want to know if you guys celebrate any video game holidays, like Wintering Mist.
I don't know what that is.
I can tell you what it is. Oh. Mike doesn't really read CAD. We don't actively attend any Winter Enmas celebrations, but I'm aware of the holiday, and certainly I respect the practitioners of it.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to see, because, like, you know, it's turned into a tradition with all my friends. So. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling in, Michael. Along the same note, I just wanted to say happy birthday to Death Papaya. Apparently he's not able to listen live, but, you know, props out for being born on this
happy
day.
Happy birthday.
All right. Couple people. We got Brian on the line here, wants to ask you something. Brian. Brian, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hello.
Excellent. What do you have for us?
I was just curious. Obviously, like, some of the stuff is based off, like, your real life, but how much of it is, and how much of it is just, you know, stuff you make up?
What would you say, like 50-50?
I would say it's about 50-50.
Yeah.
I mean, typically what will happen is that a real thing will occur that will make us respond in a way that is ridiculous. For example, coming up in December, I'm going to be a father. Right?
Borders on absurd. Go ahead.
Yeah. But Monday's comic is an authentic situation, but it is sort of seen through a strange lens. And you'll know what I mean tomorrow.
I can only imagine.
Okay, groovy.
All right, now, like I said, we could go on for hours and hours and hours. Unfortunately, we only have about 45 minutes every time we do this show.
Yes.
It took me about a year and a half to get you guys in the show, and I appreciate it, and it was worth the wait. And if you ever want
to
come on again...
On you last time.
Oh, man, don't even worry about it. This has been wonderful. Our traffic...
More than made up for it.
...has been completely unacceptable. I don't think it's allowed, actually, by people who run the internets. Anyway, thank you so much for being on. I very much appreciate it. If you ever
We'd
want
love
to come
to have
again,
you back again,
let me
thank
know.
Thank you for having us.
If you want to do a weekly 5-minute thing, I'll just put that out there. Anyway, thanks so much, guys, and thank you, everyone, for calling and being part of the show with us today. And we hope that you'll come back in the future, you know, when we just talk about games.
Yeah,
and you
that'd
can call
great.
And talk to us about those, too. We'll be back next week, everybody, and I will almost promise to have this podcast out for you all tonight. Thanks again, everyone. We'll see you later.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.